This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott says his injured linebackers, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Terrell Dotson, all listed as day-to-day for now. We'll talk to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, coming up next year in the Sports Bar. We know it's going to be Fitz time once again. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores announcing Ryan Fitzpatrick will get the start at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins against the Bills this Sunday. The Browns making moves today. David Njoku, tight end, going on injured reserve. A kicking change. Cody Parkey is in. Cut today. Austin Siebert. Dallas linebacker Leighton Vander Esch out 6 to 8 weeks. He's got a broken collarbone. Two games tonight on Monday Night Football. 7:15 the kickoff for the Steelers and Giants. That'll be followed by the Titans and the Broncos. SportsCenter brought to you by GetMyPerks.com. It's fall, so head to Stokey Farms. Buy one season pass, get one free by going to GetMyPerks.com. Gene Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia as we continue to break down and dissect yesterday's 27-17 win. Week one of the 2020 season for the Buffalo Bills over the New York Jets. Ryan Talbot covering the team for NewYorkUpstate.com is always good with this time. One of our regulars here in the Sports Bar joining us now for a deeper discussion. Hey, Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan, your level of concern right now at the linebacker position, and Sean McDermott, I guess the good news is nothing seems to be so serious that we're talking about IR or anything like that when it comes to these linebackers, but what do we know here at this time when it comes to the injuries to Milano and Edmonds?
Yeah, that's a great question. He simply said that none of the injuries, including DeLshon Phillips and Tyrell Dotson as well, seem long-term, but he kind of kept the specifics close to the vest, which Sean McDermott can see to do that. He likes to kind of keep that stuff to him, as much to himself as he can. So, looking at those injuries, I think Matt Milano would be the more worrisome injury, a hamstring. Those can take a few weeks. So missing out on Milano potentially would be a big loss for this linebacker corps just because of the athleticism that he displays, the ability to cover tight ends, the ability to get out there in coverage and the way that he works. A.J. Klein was out there a little bit in their place yesterday for Edmonds and for Milano. And you can see he didn't have the same type of athleticism that either of those young linebackers have. Still probably an above-average kind of linebacker in terms of athleticism. But players like Milano and Edmonds don't come around that often. So if they are missing Milano for even 1 week against Miami or 2 weeks counting that Rams game, they could be in some trouble against those passing defenses.
Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the game plan for the Bills offense and Brian Daboll. I mean, if you ask me, I don't know that he could have called a better game plan against the Jets. And even if you want to be critical of the amount of runs that Allen, those were option plays. Allen doesn't have to, hold on to the ball all of those plays. Talk about your eyes and what your eyes were seeing out of Brian Daboll in the game that he called yesterday.
Oh, I thought he called a brilliant game. I mean, the Bills moved the ball up and down the field at will against the Jets. And they were in a lot of third down situations. He drew the right plays there to move the chains. Obviously, execution has to play a role in that as well. And kudos to Josh Allen and company on making those plays, throwing the ball past the line of gain that you needed. But I thought Daboll was brilliant. And yeah, you can go back and say, well, why is Josh Allen running three plays in a row and he fumbles on the third? Well, one, like you said, a lot of these were option plays. Two, you know, if you look at that first run, he picked up the first down on that run, and he was moving it pretty deep into Jets territory. So if he doesn't get hit from behind and fumble that ball, you know, that could be 3 to 7 points for the Bills, and obviously he has to clean up his game in that regard. But in terms of Daboll himself, I thought it was an outstanding game called by the Bills offensive coordinator.
How do you think? We haven't even talked about Diggs, his first game as a Buffalo Bill, and yeah, he took a few shots yesterday there, Ryan.
Yeah, it seemed like almost every catch he had, he took a shot near the end of the play, took one near the sidelines that I thought he was hit pretty hard in that one. You know, you don't want to point fingers at players or anything like that, but even the announcer said that John Brown thought maybe that ball was coming for him, so he was running back towards it. So when Diggs caught the ball, he ended up, Brown's defender was right there to kind of hit him after he caught it and took about 2 steps. There was another play near the goal line that he caught it, and he was hit low then high almost simultaneously. So he took some real shots yesterday, and kudos to Diggs for one, being able to get back up, but two, holding onto the ball. I mean, targeted 9 times, hauled in 8 passes, 86 yards, and even when he wasn't catching passes, he was helping open things up for John Brown, for Cole Beasley, and the rest of this offense. You know, another thing that Josh Allen did really well yesterday was spread that ball around, and I'm sure Diggs played a big role in that.
Yeah, what was it, like 8 different Bills receivers in the first half caught a ball from Josh Allen? It was insane. He started 7 for 7, so he had a good day passing the ball. Of course, he had his first 300-yard passing game, Ryan, but, you know, we make so much of a Bills quarterback reaching that benchmark that is really kind of standard in modern NFL. I mean, what's a reasonable expectation to expect from Josh Allen this year in terms of how many of these kind of games we could see out of him looking ahead towards the rest of the season?
Well, you know, I still don't think it's going to be a regular basis where you're going to see a 300-yard or 300-plus-yard pass game. It's all going to come down to the game plan. So, you know, against the Jets, they have a really strong run defense. They have a shaky secondary, shaky linebacking group, especially with Avery Williamson being out for that game and then losing Blake Cashman early. So, you know, obviously the point of attack there was to throw the ball. So in those pass-heavy games, absolutely I could see Allen going over 300 again. In any potential shootouts or games where maybe the Bills have to play from behind, yeah, they're going to have to pass. But, you know, early on in his career, the Bills haven't found themselves in too many of those games. It's been the defense has kept them in. They've been low-scoring affairs. You don't need to go out there and throw 35-40 sometimes. That being said, entering year three, I would like to see them open up the offense a little bit more and see Allen attempt some more passes on average per week. So I don't think this is going to be the blueprint every single week, but at the same time, you want to make sure that Allen is getting more opportunities in year three.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest. This could have been a game that would have been over at the end of the third quarter had it not been for a couple of those Allen turnovers and had it not been for, I don't know, a couple missed field goals. Ryan, I guess we're going to figure out here real quick how mentally tough Tyler Pass is heading into week two.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's the exact term that Sean McDermott used about his kicker today, is that he's mentally tough. He knows where he has to improve. You know, it's actually a shame. You wonder if maybe the first kick where truly it actually probably was good and the officials called it no good and you couldn't review it, you have to wonder if that shook his confidence a little bit. But imagine, you're out there, it's your first pro kick. It's close, but it looks like it goes in and the officials say no good. Maybe that shook him up a little bit. Next kick was definitely no good. That one was no question about it. But then he did come back and rebound. It did seem, though, like every one of his kicks, though, was really close in terms of the right goal post. So he does have to kind of straighten those field goals out going forward. The hold wasn't great on the second field goal that he missed clearly. But, you know, he's got to come out here in this second game, though, and prove that was just kind of a first game. I don't know if you want to call it jitters because he might not call it that. But just a case of being out there for the first time in months in an actual football game. See what he can do against Miami, see what he can do in these next few games, because if it does continue, the Bills will start calling around and looking for some kickers here to join that 52-man roster.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, recapping Bills-Jets from yesterday in Orchard Park. Are you concerned about the Bills' run game? You mentioned how good that Jets' run defense is. They are a good unit against the run, but you weren't able to see Singletary or Moss really get over on any single carry now heading into Miami. Any concerns about that dual-threat backfield that the Bills have?
Not yet. I think it's still too early. The fact that they each only received 9 carries apiece, the fact that they couldn't get into any kind of rhythm kind of works against them in terms of seeing what they can do. I think there were a few plays with the offensive line, and I think the offensive line played very well overall, but there's a few plays where they were a little overwhelmed, and they were beaten, so there were some players in the backfield. I just think that against Miami, maybe you're going to see them run some more. You're going to see some more opportunities for one or both to get into some kind of rhythm. If, you know, again, if they're not running the ball well after that Miami game, well, then, yeah, I'm wondering what's going on with the running backs, what's going on with the blocking in front of them, and maybe what needs to be done to kind of get one or both of them on track. Because, you know, Singletary ended up averaging 3.3 yards per carry, Moss only 1.2. It needs to be a lot better when you need that run game, and you need to have more of a balanced attack for sure.
Right. I the one thing I've learned about 2020, we really have to pay attention to those roster moves that sometimes happen over the weekend there. We may be off on the air on a Friday, and then all of a sudden, hey, Cam Lunis comes up and Justin Zimmer come up. My question isn't about Zimmer per se, but it's about Zimmer over Epineza. Your second-round pick, A.J. Epineza, inactive for game day. Cause for concern? Or it is early, certainly, but what's your level of concern when it comes to that, Ryan?
No concern at all. Really, Justin Zimmer's promotion or elevation to the main roster had more to do with the Bills pretty much knowing that Vernon Butler was going to be inactive at defensive tackle, so he needed another big body to get in there because, as you know, Sean McDermott loves those rotations. So you have Harrison Phillips. You have Jefferson who can play on the inside, obviously, at Oliver next to where, you know, next to him. So they just needed another big body. And I don't think it really had anything to do with Epineza. Epineza was simply a product of the depth that the Bills currently have and the fact that they want to bring him along slowly. When you have Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Trent Murphy, who, you know, the Bills proudly tweeted out about his last five or seven games where he's been very, very good. You have Clinton Jefferson play inside, outside. Daryl Johnson, who's an important special teams contributor and can play on defense. And that list goes on and on. Well, you know, then you don't have to get Epineza in there. So realistically, I don't think there's any level of concern. The Bills are healthy at defensive end. They needed another defensive tackle with Vernon Butler being out and being inactive. So that's all that was at the end of the day.
Ryan, imagine having the debate as to whether or not Andre Roberts belongs on this roster. I mean, Roberts yesterday, I think, you know, special teams MVP. I mean, he had a great day returning punts and kicks, a real difference maker. And I know that you know, while we might speculate as to whether or not a player has value inside of a locker room, what we hear from the coaches is a completely different story.
Yeah. Sean McDermott just openly said, you know, this is a guy that personifies what it means to be a Buffalo Bill. He says, I love that guy. You know, I will say, I thought he looked better yesterday than he did all of last year. He kind of looked like he got shot out of a cannon at times yesterday. And maybe it was the blocking. Maybe it was because he was fully healthy. I mean, he didn't start the year last year, week one, because he was injured. And maybe that kind of bothered him all year. You know, you don't want to speculate too much. But he looked really fast. He was finding running lanes. He came very close to breaking one off. But at the end of the day, he ended up with 100 total return yards. 31 on the one kick return, and then 69 yards on five punt returns, averaging almost 14 yards per return. He really helped the Bills win. You know, the Bills offense itself helped them flip the field throughout the game, but Roberts, when they did end up kicking a really good punt, he ended up taking it up and really helping the Bills get into good starting field position throughout the game. So that's such an important role, especially in games where the offense is struggling. Get them out there near midfield so that way they only have to move the ball maybe get two or three first downs before they're really in field goal range, and that really can get an offense going. So he was outstanding yesterday, and he proved his worth in game one.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, as the Bills get the win over the Jets. So let's look ahead here. Miami, week two. And if you think that the thing that scares me, it's always the thing that scares me. Ryan, can you tell us which Ryan Fitzpatrick will show up here for week two?
Yeah, I wish I knew, because the Ryan Fitzpatrick that showed up yesterday against the Patriots, you know, if he shows up, the Bills should cruise to 2-0. But we also saw a really good Ryan Fitzpatrick, at least for a lot of that game last year, where when they were winless, it looked like he was about to lead the Dolphins, to a victory of the Bills before Trey White pretty much saved the day with an interception near the goal line. You know, three interceptions, 44 rating, 191 yards in you know, it was a 10-point game, so it wasn't like he had to be throwing really off. It wasn't a blowout by any means. But he struggled. So it'll be interesting to see if the Bills can kind of look at what the Patriots did and say, okay, well, here's where he really struggled. Here's what we have to do. Another thing, though, going back to earlier part of our conversation, is I think this is a good opportunity for the run game to get going for Buffalo because New England was able to rush for 217 yards against this Dolphins team. So, one, if the bad Fitzpatrick shows up, you're going to see the Bills handing off the ball a lot in that second half of the game, and you're really going to get a good indicator of what their run game looks like. But yesterday, you know, I thought Miami fell very flat and very far short of expectations in terms of what I think a lot of people thought they would be able to do against New England in week one.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse Post-Tanner. What are you and Matt working on this week as we head up to game day on Sunday?
Yeah, Matt has a long-form piece, hopefully coming out this week on Delshawn Phillips, a really good story of, about the linebacker that made that 53-man roster kind of flew under the radar. We're going to have some preview pieces, obviously, throughout the week on the Dolphins. Just put out an encouraged word piece on their week one win this morning. We'll have some power ranking talk, and then a live pod on Wednesday night with Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic.
I haven't even thought about power rankings here. The Bills are top 10, right? When we start doing all these power rankings, maybe even top 5, Ryan? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there were a few preseason power rankings that had the Bills near 5, and most had them within the top 10. I think especially when you look at some of the upsets that took place yesterday, that you can't take Buffalo playing the Jets for granted because you look around the league and you have Jacksonville being the Colts team. That a lot of people predicted could make a run for the division, and they still could. It's only 1 week. Yeah, the Bears with Trubisky defeating the Lions. I don't know if I'd call some of these other games. Well, I think Arizona over the 49ers was a pretty decent or sizable upset.
They're legit.
As well, so there was a lot of upsets yesterday, but the Bills went out and did their job. So I think that you have to keep that in mind when you're making these power rankings, and I think that'll help them at least heading into week two.
Ryan, it's great to hear your voice. Glad we could catch up after Sunday's win, and hope you enjoy the rest of your week, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You got it. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. And just to put a finer point on the Josh Allen rushing effort, this mm-hmm. is from Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. 5 quarterbacks yesterday led their teams in rushing. Those teams went 5-0. The Ravens?
Yeah.
Seahawks. Mr. Unlimited.
He's unlimited.
The Bills, the Patriots, the Cardinals. 5 quarterbacks led their team in rushing.
You know, but if you had to pick which of the 5 would it be, you just listed the 5 running quarterbacks in this league, though. Which one are we missing? Watson, maybe?
Watson can run. Mahomes can run. Mahomes won, obviously. Just because I watched the game. Trubisky can run. He's athletic. They don't run him the way they used to run him when he was a rookie. You're not getting any running out of anybody in that Saints-Bucks game, right?
Yeah. Look, you say it's an important part of the Bills' running attack to have Josh Allen. Okay, in theory, yes. In reality, and I can't call him a kid anymore, third year. But the kid has got to learn how to hold on to the ball, okay?
Yes.
It's just it is so obvious. That will cost you later in the season. Was a reason why it was so frustrating watching that Houston playoff game.
I do like, though, that it's going to make defenses on. It's going to keep defenses honest. They're going to have to game plan for that element of the Bills' offense. If you chart the plays, you realize that of all of the rushes, 5 of them were actually designed QB runs.
It's the read option stuff.
There's 4 read option plays.
How about that? Can we find a happy medium? The read option stuff? Or dial that back significantly?
I don't know. Not if it works. And it worked yesterday against a good run defense.
One of those times he made the wrong choice on the read option, though.
All right, let's get to NFL appetizers. Some other news and notes from around the NFL that you may have missed today, including a stern warning from the NFL.
Yes. Mask up, all your coaches. Even though we're testing you every single day.
Optics. Anyway, yeah. It's about optics. Yeah. It's not a chin strap.
Boy, they thought the loss was bad for the Jets. Oh, this is not good news for them heading into their game against the Niners this week. We've got injury notes coming out of last night's game between the Rams and the Cowboys. Colts, and of course, oh yes, after week one, we already have a change in the NFL. No, it's not Buffalo. Which team?
Are you ready for some hot kicker talk? You've been waiting. It's coming up next. NFL appetizers. We serve up news and notes from around the NFL next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.